CCFM 107.5.
Nico Kleinhans has just stepped into studio and we are going to go live with him any second now. Nico, how are you this morning?
I'm great. I must say I have never seen fog this bad.
It is.
In Muesenberg before, visibility was literally down to less than a meter, so one had to be very careful.
Well, we're glad you're safe and that you agreed to join us this morning. Here we go, live on Facebook.
Today I want to do something slightly differently, in that I want to look at how the coronavirus is going to affect businesses. And many of the listeners run a small business, and I just want to reflect on some of the things you're going to need to do just to survive. But in the week that we went down to lockdown level 3, we are not isolated. The world is going on its own pace. During this week, the young children in the United Kingdom went back to school. The UK Parliament is starting to work this week. The Colosseum in Rome has opened up for the first time in 3 months to accept tourists.
So not for gladiator fights?
Not for gladiator fights. The Van Gogh Museum in Amsterdam is opening up. Greece is opening its hotels this week. Bars in Norway are opening up. The Grand Bazaar in Turkey is opening up. So the world is moving on. And for much of the rest of the world, they're getting to the end of the curve of coronavirus. And obviously in South Africa, we are very much still on the incline. We are nowhere near the end. So I was wondering, how are we going to have to change our business models? How are we going to have to change what it is we do to run our business? So whether you are a gardening service, or whether you are a dental practice, whether you're making masks or whether you're baking cakes, the coronavirus is going to impact the way you do business between now and December. And you need to apply your mind to how you're going to change your model. It's not just a matter of saying, my doors are open, the customers are going to flood in, and it's going to be back as normal. It doesn't work like that. And when I refer to business model, I'm really talking to where your income comes from, how you identify your target market, who are you aiming at, who's going to come and buy from your particular business. Where are you going to get your funding? Are the customers or clients going to bring in enough money to get you going? And what is it that you're going to need to overcome? What are the challenges that you face? And that's really the critical question. And how does your product or your service going to have to change? Those are the things you're going to have to sort out. Because one of the things that happens is that when a business tends to go into a panic mode, you cut expenses. You do so to survive. But often you cut in the wrong places. You slash your marketing budget. You slash budgets that you shouldn't be cutting. Budgets that need to remain there so that the business can and stabilize. So every single business in South Africa is going to be impacted in one way or another. Nobody is going to be exempt here. You're going to have to look, and for some industries, they are never going to recover to where they were before the virus hit, simply because they're going to discover new ways of doing things and their methods are going to change. And if you're in one of those industries, particularly service industries, you're going to have to make very sure that you don't fall behind, because the coronavirus is one of those disruptive factors that are going to hit, and they're going to change much of the way that we do things. Now, during April, we learned that customers can't buy if they can't visit us. And that came as a surprise to many people. People who are running bricks and mortar stores were devastated by having to lock their doors for a full month. That has affected the way you operated. And if your staff can't come into work, that creates extra problems. And of course, during lockdowns, your expenses actually go up because you suddenly are having to pay things and extra things. It costs our company a fortune because we had to get all kinds of masks and sanitizers and new kinds of sterilizers and things like that. And that was an ongoing expense. Now, in my particular case, we were fortunate in that about 2 years ago, I run a financial advisory service. So paper, 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 hundreds of documents, thousands of sheets are printed every single month. And we decided that we were going to get to a paperless practice where there were going to be no pieces of paper floating because papers get lost, documents get lost. And if you're running an advisory service, it's inevitable if it's a high-pressure environment that something's going to go astray. So over a two-year period, we made a decision that we would run without paper, and secondly, that we were run on the assumption that if the building burned down, we would be able to start up within 2 days somewhere else without the loss of any information. And over 2 years, we began to work on that. 2 weeks before we reached our final goal, coronavirus hits us. And so we were fortunate because we were able to get ready on time. We were able to disperse our staff, and every staff person became a little office. Now, that helped us because we moved from a physical presence to an online presence. And clients adapted. They were happy to use Zoom and Skype and WhatsApp and endless other methods. Now, for those of you who are running servicing practices, so those will be the accountants, the coaches, educators in one way or another, you're going to need to work online. Because even when the normal comes back, people are going to be working online and they're going to be taking your customers and clients away. So you need to look at that. In fact, Curo School announced in the past 2 days that they are starting a school which will run entirely online, and they're targeting those people who need homeschooling and where the parents don't have the access or the ability to supervise the homework. And they're looking at coding and robotics and maths and science as their syllabus. So those are the areas that will grow with the fourth industrial revolution. And certainly I see that's a very clever idea. I have a number of clients who now teach English to students in Taiwan, and they teach to students in China. There are, in fact, hundreds of South Africans who do that, but they do that from the comfort of their bedroom because obviously the working hours are different. So you are going to need to look at to what degree your online presence. Even stores like there's a particular company in Cape Town that manufactures look-alike antiques. They've now sold their Woodstock offices. They're going entirely online. Now, the advantage for them is instead of their customers living in Cape Town, their customers live throughout the world. And provided they can package and get stuff out there, it makes it easier. So for those of you who are thinking, how do I get my bakery changed? Apply your mind. It's not impossible. It's not rocket science. You can sell online. Those of you who are offering some kind of service, even a plumbing service, you don't need to have so much equipment and so much investment in a huge building that costs a fortune, because it doesn't matter where your building is, your service is delivered where the customer lives. So my suggestion is that you need to begin to see what you can do to help your company survive. Now, where that is impossible, there are still alternatives. One particular person realized that when the businesses open up, the small companies are not going to know what to do. So she made a pact. It's about 2,500 rand. She will give you all the documents that you need. She will give you the policies that you need. She will explain what it is your staff need to know. She will give you all the schedules, where you find your thermometers, how you do those tests, how you do the hand sanitizers, where you buy it in bulk without being ripped off. So an owner just has to pass her that kind of money. They get a complete pack. And what would have taken them a week or 2 weeks to sort out is immediately available. It fits the legislation. She was very clever in deciding this would be a way that she would survive between now and the next 2 or 3 months before she can return to her normal business. So I don't want people who are running their small businesses to go into a panic mood and to think this is the end of the world. Remember where Europe is right now. Remember where other countries are. We have a hope of getting there, and we can make a difference to our enterprises as well.
Nico, thank you very much for your valuable insight. As always, we do appreciate you and you taking time to come through. And, you know, I couldn't agree more. I'm in digital marketing. And as you mentioned at the top of your insights, that the first thing that goes out the window is that marketing budget. And, you know, you can understand it because the purse strings need to be tightened. But at the same time, it definitely is an indication that you're almost giving up in a sense. Yes. If you're not willing to reach out for more customers, then you're essentially saying, oh, I've kind of resigned to the fact that I'm closing the door.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Nico. As I mentioned earlier, this is on Facebook Live, and it will go onto our Facebook page as well a little bit later.
CCFM 107.5.